Although I believe it's discretionary, you don't have to if you don't want to.
Okay. Is it humming? Okay. I'm Susan Quorum with the Creek Tribe. We submitted a letter to the board and to the executive officer on Monday regarding the West Side Salvage. The West Side Salvage is one of the largest salvage logging operations proposed in the Forest Service history. And they're trying to do it in about half the time for the environmental processes. And this is of great concern to the Creek Tribe and lots of community members and other folks on the river, of the impacts that it'll have on beneficial uses and water quality impacts, along with other threatened and endangered species on our river that'll come, you know, next time we get a really big rain event. I read through the current waiver, which I know is being addressed later, and I just don't feel, and we don't read the letter, what the letter suggests is that the West Side Salvage is way too large in size and scope to apply under the current waiver. It needs to be remanded to the board, and it needs to go through a different process. Maybe it needs to be an individual waiver or whatever process the board sees fit, but what I'm asking is for the board to put it on another agenda item on another board meeting and to deal with it. And please, when you get the letter from Klamath National Forest, do not enroll it under the current waiver. The three ways I pretty much took that the waiver deals with water quality impairments is through treating of riparian areas, legacy sites, and BMPs. And I don't think when we have catastrophic fires that the BMPs are going to work anymore. I don't think it's going to fit. I think there's hundreds of legacy sites within the project area, and they're going to only treat a small fraction of those. And then I think that the riparian areas, they have new logging decks in the riparian areas. They have roads that are going to be in riparian areas. It's just the combination of this just does not fit under your existing waiver. So please deal with this in a different process and at a different board meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And then to staff, I'm not getting any green light, yellow light.
Yeah, I didn't have a countdown thing online. So.
Okay. Next person is Kimberly Baker, Klamath Forest Alliance, and also speaking on West Side.
Hi there, good morning. My name is Kimberly Baker. I'm Executive Director for Klamath Forest Alliance, and I also am Public Land Advocate for EPIC, Environmental Protection Information Center. And I wanted to just talk to you this morning also about the West Side Project. And the reasons why it's not appropriate for a general waiver. The scope and scale and topography of the area, as Susan mentioned, it's a huge project. It covers 11 fifth field watersheds and 75 sub-watersheds, seventh field watersheds. There's 802 miles of perennial streams, over 1,000 of intermittent streams. And according to the Forest Service Hydrology Report, all the streams in the project area are listed as impaired under Section 303D. And in the Aquatics Report, when looking at water quality, channel conditions, flow and hydrology, and watershed conditions, nearly all of them are at risk. There are thousands of acres of treatment in riparian reserves, which includes roadside, salvage logging, fuels work, which includes machinery. And the draft environmental impact statement really did not provide any data under their cumulative effects analysis. They didn't provide any hard data showing all of the issues with this. There's over 650 miles of roads, over 953 legacy sites, and only 150 of those are proposed to be treated in one watershed. So that's, what, two or three legacy sites per mile of road. So it's a huge project. The draft environmental impact statement did not adequately consider floodplains. The 1997 floods repeatedly mentions most of the watersheds in the project area. Greater Creek, Walker Creek, Tompkins Creek, Elk Creek, Beaver Creeks. All of those had major impacts in the 1997 floods, but the draft EIS does not adequately consider floodplains. There's also the issue of water drafting. With 650 miles of road and those water tankers having to fill up, there's no real clear explanation of how much and where water drafting would take place. The draft environmental impact statement also does not mention drought at all. It does mention that the project might increase or would increase water temperature, and the conditions being what they are with the salmon in our creeks right now, any effect on temperature and looking at climate change is something that needs to happen. So I would ask that you not grant a general waiver for the West Side Fire Project, and please hear about it at a future meeting to consider it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Jerry Martin on Elk River.
Good morning. Jerry Martin, Elk River. Esteemed board members, welcome back to Humboldt County. Residents of Elk River gave you a petition when you met here a year ago, and your silence was beginning to worry us. It was a long meeting. All that lumber company science must have been hard to get your staff to digest it. I'm glad you're okay. After 17 years of your regulation and worsening water quality, we have often wondered where you were, but this year, there's been less of you than ever. We hoped it wasn't because there were too many of us at the meeting asking you for a moratorium on logging while you were studying the problem, asking you to enforce the Clean Water Act. That's a lot. I heard that an EPA official came to your meeting last August and accused you of analysis paralysis concerning Elk River. I could have told her, just because you're not moving doesn't mean you're paralyzed. It could be fear, for example. And while you were away, there was an article in the East Bay Express that also worried us. It mentioned you in connection with the Fisher family, the brother who owns a lot of the watershed you regulate, and the brother who is good friends with the governor who nominates you all. Something about the public trust. The petition said, among many other things, quoting a former official of your agency, that North Coast regional water quality was too intimidated by the timber industry to perform its duties sufficiently to protect Upper Elk River residents. I can see how it could take a long time to respond to something like that. But it's good to see that the petition is still on your agenda, even if it is in closed session. Your silence might be the best answer we could have asked for. We know how long these things take. 17 years of declining water quality couldn't have happened without you. I see those big marijuana growers are on your agenda later this morning. They should have a good time being regulated by your board. They have the money and the connections in Sacramento. Seems like a perfect fit. Speaking of marijuana, Senator Mike McGuire said, "We can't sacrifice the North Coast environment for the growth of an industry." But we know better, don't we? You fish and you people downstream from those big grows, it'll be hard at first. But like we say in Elk River, that's water quality. Thank you.
Thank you. I did want to say I smiled two or three times during the presentation. Yeah, it was because of the jokes, and I do take your comments very seriously.
Thank you.
But you do have some humorous lines in there. Christy Wrigley.
Christy Wrigley, representing Upper Elk River residents. Mine's not humorous. Elk River is already choked with sediment from logging. It cannot handle any more. We have seen the river deteriorate even more this winter. Flashier flows with quicker return to low flow conditions. We have seen more fine deposition on the banks and on the river margins at low flow. These observations are reflected in the Salmon Forever lab results especially on the South Fork. Demonstrated trends show continued filling and increased suspended sediment concentrations. Winter logging has always been extremely harmful to water quality and river health. So now, even when our watershed is knowingly harmed from too much sediment from logging, we have had logging all winter, stopping briefly during storms and starting back up as soon as 24 hours after a flood. Residents feel ignored and defeated. All we have seen over the past 18 years since water quality and CDF recognized significant harm from sediment from logging is more logging. I do hope you're listening, John.
I am. Taking notes, actually.
And at rates that are far above those historically known to create a balance in our watershed. We all know that when logging is suspended, fine sediment production goes down. When logging is resumed, fine sediment is up and increased deposition occurs. We have had nearly 40 inches of rain in the Elk River watershed this season, and Elk River is already at low flow conditions usually seen in late July. The river will likely go underground again this year, as it did last for the first time. This is not caused by drought. It is caused by overlogging in our watershed. We need our human right to water respected. We need this board to remedy the ongoing harm caused by continued logging, and we need it now. This must include stopping the activity causing the harm, especially in winter, achieving real zero sediment discharge, not just with words on paper. If you are allowing continued degrading logging because of the present poor WDR, which was crammed down the resident's throat in 2006, then act now to make it right. I am sure you know how to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Does the executive director want to speak to any of the items? Okay. I'll just very briefly, we had a board subcommittee of two board members attempting to keep the regulations for elk and freshwater moving. And I can assure you that the executive officers heard a lot of comments from the board to keep it moving. And we do have it scheduled to be reissued and heard later on this year. And I realize that may seem very slow if you live there, but the wheels are creaking, and we do not want to repeat the lengthy type of consideration that occurred in the past. With that, I'll call on Craig Tucker, Karuk.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the board. My name is Craig Tucker. I'm the Natural Resources Policy Advocate for the Karuk Tribe. And I would just build on the comments made by my colleague and co-worker, Susan Corum, regarding the West Side Salvage Project. We just want to make the case that the waiver as designed is to facilitate implementation of projects that have a low to moderate risk to water quality. And this timber project would be one of the biggest, if not the biggest, salvage project in the history of the Klamath Basin. It's just ginormous in scale and scope, and so we just cannot conceive that it would meet the criteria of the kind of project that would be considered under the waiver. The Karuk Tribe has developed an alternative that was included in the appendix of the draft EIS. It reduces the scale and scope of what the Forest Service proposed by about a third. It focuses all on providing increasing the fire resiliency of our forest, making our communities fire safe, and still provides a lot of economic opportunity in getting board feet out of the forest. And I think the way procedurally this needs to happen is that the issue needs to be remanded back to the board and put on a future agenda for consideration. So we don't have to deal with this sort of in public comments, but it should be actually an agenda item and talked about and considered. And I also brought a letter from our friends and colleagues at the Salmon River Restoration Council who have similar comments, and I'll leave that with you guys. But you know, please consider all the letters and comments made by the groups who are focused on the Klamath, because I think what the Forest Service is proposing is really setting us back decades in our efforts to restore the river. And we see them, you know, logging and replanting plantations in the exact same places they did 30 and 40 years ago. And we know the results of that because we've seen them firsthand. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question? Is the proposal that, am I on? Is the proposal that the Karuk tribe presented, is that alternative four?
No, it's appendix, I think it's appendix G of the draft EIS. You know, one other thing is sort of incidentally to comment on here, but we have been trying through our government-to-government relationship with the United States Forest Service to make comments and affect the plan with limited success. We're very unhappy with their ability to consult with us, but we did convince them or get them to jam our proposed alternative into the appendix of the draft EIS. But we'll be happy to give staff a briefing on that at your request.
Okay. Thank you.
And I wanted to give a follow-up question. Are you happy with government-to-government with the Regional Water Quality Control Board?
Yeah, I was very pleased.
Sure,
yeah, Matt came out, and we've had some great meetings with you guys, and we do appreciate the effort that's been made. It's not easy to get out to the Middle Klamath, and you know, Mr. St. John made the effort, and we're very appreciative.
Okay.
Thank you.
Lucy Allen, EPIC.
Hello, my name is Lucy Allen, and I'm here on behalf of EPIC, and my comments are also directed toward the West Side Salvage Project. I wanted to start by thanking the executive officer and his staff for their thoughtful analysis of the West Side Project in their comment letter on the draft environmental impact statement that was circulated for the project. As this comment letter recognizes, the preferred alternative for West Side has potential water quality impacts that have not been mitigated to less than significant levels. This alternative, therefore, does not meet the requirements under the U.S. Forest Service General Waiver. Even Alternative 4, which is the alternative that was developed for reduced watershed impacts, poses significant threats to water quality. For example, this alternative contains nearly 2,000 acres of salvage logging in riparian reserves, and it contains the same risks to temperature, channel morphology, and sediment regime alteration as the preferred alternative, which, again, the executive officer and his staff stated does not qualify for the waiver. Because of the size of this project, along with the fact that it will take place in sensitive watersheds that are already impaired for sediment and temperature, this project should not receive coverage under the waiver, and instead an individual WDR or other solution that the board comes up with should be created that's tailored to the project and adequately addresses potential impacts. Thank you.
Thank you. I thought I'd interrupt. I want to welcome Humboldt County Supervisor Mark Lovelace for attending our meeting, and thank you. And also Charlie Helms from the Crescent City Harbor District. We also thank you for coming to our meeting. Next public card is Felice Pace.
There's another official right there if you didn't recognize.
I'm sorry. Actually, it was well hidden behind a head. Patrick Higgins from the Bay Harbor District, and you're welcome, of course, Pat.
Good morning. Felice Pace with the North Group of the Redwood Chapter of the Sierra Club. I want to briefly mention Mr. Let me skip that. Your staff letter on the West Side Project is an excellent letter. One of the things it points out is, in addition to the preferred alternative the Forest Service wants to do does not qualify for the waiver, it points out that this riparian reserve logging that you heard about is predominantly in low and moderate intensity burn areas and is not in the high-intensity burn areas. And I wanted to just add to what's been said that this is the section of the Klamath River where we have the salmon disease epidemic with juvenile salmon, where last year we had 100% of the juvenile salmon infected with at least one disease. Only 8% of those juveniles that have been radio tagged are making it to the estuary and therefore to the ocean. So we have an epidemic situation that even the Bureau of Reclamation is considering putting more water down the Klamath this spring because of that. This project would damage the refugial areas and those refugial streams in the mid-Klamath that help those fish, where those fish will go up when they're going down the river, they'll go up to seek refuge in these watersheds. And this is going to further temperature impair these watersheds through the sediment, and that's all in the modeling. So, I mean, this is a very... I also just want to point out that all of the groups, as far as I know, are supporting responsible salvage logging and getting ready for the next fire, using this as an opportunity, like the Westside Partnership Group vision, to get ready for future fires. So it's very disappointing that the Forest Service has chosen this very obsolete approach that would damage our watersheds. And with the help of your staff, I think we can get to an alternative that everybody could support. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Martine, I want to mention that Elk River, North Group fully supports the people in Elk River, and, you know, it's just outrageous in my mind that winter logging is going on there. And winter logging, the Forest Service is doing it. You know, we don't have a normal operating season anymore. It's like winter is a normal operating period now. So that's awfully risky because, as you know, conditions change very often. So it's disappointing to see winter logging approved for the Elk River in particular. Thank you.
I had a question for you.
Sure.
Can you, at a 60,000 foot level, maybe identify some of the cold water refugia?
Yeah,
obviously get a detailed map for staff, but I think that's an important concept.
Yeah, and I mean, that's out there in the public domain, actually, you know, and I think your staff is familiar with it, but I'll talk to Fred and the other staff about it for sure. And Grider Creek is one of the main ones that is cold water refugia in that part, and there's extensive amount of riparian logging. I've looked at some of it on the ground, and, you know, these areas don't need to be, they're not the fire-killed areas, they're light burn areas where they want to go in and pull out some big logs. Thank you.
Thank you. Carol Dyer in Westside Recovery. And then before you begin, if you don't mind, I wanted to introduce Chris Howard from the Delmar County Board of Supervisors. You could introduce, and thank you for taking the time to come, and I hope that you will find an opportunity to meet with board members and staff on breaks or whatever, and we appreciate you attending. Carol.
Good morning. My name is Carol Dyer, and I am the Communications Director at Klamath Riverkeeper. I'm a resident of Orleans, and I really appreciate this opportunity to speak to you today. I just distributed a little, this is kind of what I'm going over so that you have something to refer to. So in my handwriting.
Do we have one to our staff? Otherwise,
yes.
Okay, good. Just wanted to check.
It's all straight out of this document.
Yeah.
So right now here in my hand, I'm holding the DEIS for the Westside Fire Recovery Project. And as you can see by the size of this document, this is a large and complex project. I also wanted to offer this to you if you want to take a look at this, because they can be kind of hard to come by, these paper copies. So the Westside project is a massive commercial post-fire salvage logging project that spans 219,000 acres across 75 watersheds. The preferred alternative in this DIS includes the construction of 22 miles of new temporary roads, including the reopening of 9 miles of decommissioned roads and 14 new stream crossings. And I'm more than happy to pull those out into details if you guys want those as backup. It also proposes the construction of 152 new landings, the logging decks and the use of 75 existing landings, many of which are in riparian reserves. The project also proposes 13,000 acres of operations within riparian reserves, and this is, should be of special concern to you all. We are very concerned that if this project proceeds, it will create severe water quality impacts and fish habitat impacts in the Klamath. So I want to urge the board to consider this issue very seriously. Specifically, I'm concerned, as you can hear in my voice, about the operations in the riparian reserves and how this affects any approval for the use of the general waiver. I also am very puzzled by how the Forest Service plans to implement the BMPs across such a massive project, considering their history of failed BMPs in the past. I also don't understand how those BMPs will be monitored for their effectiveness. So I really support your role in this process, and I urge you to take this matter seriously. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Susan Terrence.
Hi, my name is Sue Terrence. I've lived and taught on the Salmon River for 36 years. I have watched firsthand the degradation of our forest, of our water quality. We all know that the fish are on the very edge. Fire is not an emergency. It has been part of this landscape forever. It is important that we recognize that this is not an emergency and don't treat it as such. I believe the waiver is being attempted to be used as a way to rush through this sale. I'm here to urge this board to pass an interim waiver with more teeth. Let this waiver lapse. Pass an interim waiver that will take into account the huge responsibilities and that you have, but will put in some teeth that will not allow this enormous West Side Salvage project to proceed. It is fire basically in the Salmon River. I've watched the fires grow in size, in severity. Each time the salvage logging projects are proposed to reduce the fire risk, but the opposite has taken place. As a teacher, I've always taught kids, you clean up your mess before you start the next mess. This is not happening here. The hog fire salvage logging was enormous amount of helicopter logging because it's huge, steep, decomposed granitic slopes. We've had enormous sediment problems as a result of this salvage logging. And now, instead of recognizing the causes, the problems it's created, they're proposing an entirely new scale of logging here. It is not proportionate with the risk. It is not proportionate with the studies. You can hand me all kinds of BMPs and all kinds of project designs, but if you look at the studies that have actually been produced and this kind of slope and this kind of soils and this kind of instability, it just doesn't work. I'd appreciate it if you put it, the West Side Salvage, on your agenda as a separate item coming up. And I also very much appreciate the fact that you're taking this seriously. You have treated it with great transparency, and thank you.
Thank you. Jennifer Count.
Good Good morning. My name is Jennifer Kalt. I'm the director of Humboldt Baykeeper and the board secretary for the North Coast Environmental Center. Thank you for holding this meeting in Eureka. It's great to have you all here. I'm here to speak about the Klamath National Forest West Side Salvage Project and would like to reiterate many of the comments made by my colleagues that this project, as it is envisioned, fails to meet the conditions of the Forest Service General Waiver for waste discharge requirements. As you've heard from other speakers, they're proposing 14 new stream crossings, construction of 22 miles of new roads, reopening 9 miles of decommissioned roads, and their draft EIS acknowledges that these activities, among other things that you've heard about, logging in riparian areas, et cetera, will deliver sediment to salmon-bearing streams in the Klamath watershed. This project does not meet the BMPs required for the sediment and temperature TMDLs, and it does not meet the terms of the waiver. And so the North Coast Environmental Center strongly urges the board to reject this project for coverage under the Forest Service General Waiver. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Patrick Higgins.
Good morning, Chairman Corbett, members of the board. It's a pleasure to be before you. Thank you for coming to Eureka. It's very good to see Greg Tuesday seated. Greg and I have worked together for years, and I am here this morning as the project manager for the Eel River Recovery Project. And you may, some of the more long-standing board members may have some recovered memories of my previous discussions before the board. Watching you in the full arc from May 2013 when you were confronted with the problem of non-point source pollution related to marijuana, and the full arc today to the waivers of waste discharge is highly commendable. You guys are going where others have feared to tread. As the cannabis approaches legalization, you've been on a parallel track in planning, and that's pretty rare in government. And you hung it out in the wind a little bit, and I thank you for that. Also, our state board grant actually was a contract that we were working with the North Coast Regional Board on for outreach and monitoring in the Eel. It's now funded as a grant from the State Water Board. And 2 years later, we're actually going to hit the street. And before you, you have a handout that's about our outreach and monitoring project. And it explains to people that we will be able to deliver free technical consulting on water pollution prevention and water conservation at their place and out in the communities, and we'll be holding meetings in Fortuna, Covelo, Willits, Dinsmore, and we'll be out further than that in Bloxburg and Alder Point. And so I'll be reporting back to the board in terms of that aspect of our project, and we have surveys that people will complete so that we'll be able to quantify how people have responded. And you'll see on here that, you know, it's just like you could form a road association and thereby maybe get a 319H grant. So we're not just going to be giving technical assistance, we're also going to be networking with these people and trying to engage, empower, and enlighten. And so we really appreciate the vision of the North Coast Regional Board staff in helping to promote this project. We still have a partnership with the University of California at Berkeley. We really should calendar cyanotoxins for your agenda at some point. We found that cyanotoxin shifted from Phillipsville upstream, and that the species that generated anatoxin A is not necessarily the more recognized Anabina, but also there's another one called Formidium. And so we're learning about that with UC Berkeley. False Chinook, there was 12,000 to 20,000 false Chinook. The main stem is recovered from the 64 flood. There's more gravels in the main stem since hundreds of years. And so despite the fact that we have tributaries that are struggling, which you've heard about, Chinook are flourishing in the Eel overall. And so that's good news. Coho, not so much. Need a little more attention. The recovery project is operating under the Institute for Fisheries Resources for this grant. It will be administered by Angie Norda at the State Board, and it has a whole component of monitoring that essentially helps you guys to track and implement TMDLs. And so Thank you. Whoops, the red light.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, trap door didn't open. Yeah. Thanks very much.
Well, I have some questions, Pat.
Oh, good.
Super briefly, generally, coho, I mean, Chinook will do a little better on main stem coho, or a little bit more dependent on those side streams. Has that been your finding? And
yeah, coho salmon in the eel, the eel has the last functional metapopulation, which means group of salmon that seek appropriate habitats, John. It's in the South Fork, centered around Hollow Tree Creek. It extends down about as far as Sproul around Garberville. Other coho production units like the Lower Eel and Lower Van Dusen are actually kind of having problems right now because of the sediment processes, but as long as we have enough fish going up to the Upper Eel, a South Fork branch coming up in there, then they can stop at any time and repopulate Lower Eel tribs. Same is true with the winter steelhead. I mean, they're up to the headwalls and apparently seeded wall to wall. But there's a couple of years after the drought because they may be in the ocean. They don't even know there's a drought. And they come back to spawn. There's still plenty of babies. We got to get some water one of these years or it's going to show up in steelhead populations. Summer steelhead, another story. Cutthroat trout, overlooked, resilient, lower eel, another story.
Okay. One last question. As appropriate on a discretionary basis, do our staff and myself have permission to distribute your flyer?
This may be catching my state board contract officer, Angie Norda, flat-footed because I just generated that without running a buyer. It may be revised slightly, but yes, everything that
we
produce.
Could you keep us posted to that?
Fact? Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Okay, we're going to, we have two quick agenda items before we get into the Forest Service waiver. Rather than ask our legal staff and our executive director to explore our policy options now and then have to do it again when we call up the agenda, we're going to go through, hopefully very promptly, on approving the minutes and our one uncontested item, and then we'll take it up and we will respond in more depth to some of the comments we received. So with that, I'll call up item one, approval of meeting minutes, March